And you're very welcome along to a special programme to mark the life of the late Jim Lynch, who passed away at the end of September 2022. By all accounts, Jim, a proper gentleman, a proud Letterkenny man, with a passion for heritage and the environment and so much more besides. We're going to be joined by a number of guests over the next while as we remember Jim and all he contributed. And I suppose the best place to start is with his sister, Brenda Lynch McClafferty, and also Brenda, a campaign manager for Jim on many occasions.
Yeah, well, I would just have to say on that, Greg, that I steered the ship, but it was my brothers and sisters, the husbands, wives, nieces, nephews, even two of my mother's sisters, Ellen Price and Susanna Mull. No, it was the family, really, that we give credit to there. I just steered the ship, nothing else.
And were you surprised that he got involved in politics? Was that obvious early on?
Well, no, really and truly. He was a very shy person, you know, all of his life. And my mother had run and wasn't successful. And it was Rose Harvey, as you probably know, put him forward and he kind of ran without realising he was running, if you know what I mean. But he was passionate about politics, saying that. He loved it. And as you can see from all that he did locally, he really loved his town, and that was a big, big priority to him.
Yeah. And we're going to come back, obviously, and talk about him as a family man as well. But we'll stay with the politics and introduce his nephew, Donal Mandy Kelly, who's mayor of the Letterkenny Municipal, Milford Municipal District. Good morning to you, Donal. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to Brenda there and all your listeners as well, and anyone else that's
Now, yours is a multifaceted relationship as well, isn't it? There's a confidant, there's a friendship, there's a guiding hand, there's an uncle.
Yeah, without a doubt, Greg. Listen, I suppose we're all aware Jim was an uncle of mine, but I would definitely go as far as saying he was a real good friend as well, especially in the more recent years there, when I took over the seat here as well from my late brother and then my father. You know, Jim was very, very involved with Manus's campaign, and very involved with helping my father as well, and likewise with me. You know, Jim couldn't have done enough for me. He was really one of my go-to men. You know, if I had a question or a query or something I wasn't sure about, you know, I lifted the phone to Jim, and he had a wealth of knowledge, and a great man. And, you know, funny, the last 2 years, I seen a different Jim, if you like. I kind of seen the softer side of him, not just the political side or the family side, but he was just a great man, you know. And it's just a pity the way life pans out, you know, because I suppose seen a lot of great years in the future along with Jim, but unfortunately that was taken away from us all way too soon and too sudden at that as well, Greg, you know.
Yeah, because you were chucked into this to some extent, weren't you? And it was at that time you needed someone, you know, with the knowledge, someone you could trust. And I know you've got a big family around you and that's there, but someone with that sort of insight into the cut and thrust of the political game.
Definitely, Greg. And I mean, listen, saying that there, I have to give credit here as well to my fellow councillors as well. And I suppose a particular councillor, Brogan, who was still the party whip at the time and took me under his wing as well whenever I come in to kind of help get me on my feet. But Jim, no more than my father as well, played a massive role in getting me settled in as quick as possible. Listen, I suppose, truth be told, there's no point saying I was out with Jim Gannison, because I don't ever recall being out with him. I often recall it going on, but I suppose growing up, I was a farmer in the house, and I'm still the farmer to the day, and suppose I hadn't maybe as much time to run when maybe my father was away. I kind of stayed back to look after things, but listen, I was no way, I suppose, if you like, in the political circle or the political world. But listen, as I say, when my own brother ran, you know, and we all got together, Brenda, Jim, Sean Geller, I'm not even going to start on the names because there's that many, but we all got together like one big family. And, you know, I remember at the time thinking, God, you know, why did I never think on going down this road, you know? And I remember actually I'm at the counter and at the Aura Leisure Centre, and things were coming down to the wire, Jim and Manus, and we're all sweating, and my mother and father, my brothers and sisters were all starting to, I suppose, sweat. And I remember turning to my wife and saying to her, you know, God, you know, I really wish I had to come down this road, you know. And it's just funny. It's funny when I'm getting that, Greg, because it's funny how life pans out, you know. You know, more than anyone else, I suppose, the time. As well as Jim, we're really good on behind Manus, and Jim really, really good on behind me. And, you know, that's something that's, you know, I'll carry that with me. I'll more than grateful of my time with Jim in the last 2 years and our political life.
I mean, it's a lovely tribute, isn't it, Brenda? And, you know, for Jim to leave that sort of lasting legacy, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Greg, Jim was extremely proud of Manus, God rest him, when he got over the line. And no less so for Donal. He worked very, very close with him, was very, very proud of him, said he was really working very hard and he could see that he would be successful. He was very, very proud of him.
Yeah, because as it's been mentioned, Manus needed that guiding hand too. I mean, hugely successful businessman, hugely successful sports person, but everything else, and working in the community. But then stepping in maybe a little bit outside a comfort zone or into a new comfort zone at least, and that's just to say when you need those guiding hands around you.
Oh, absolutely. It was a completely new arena for Manus, you know, and he did have the family around him and nudging him in the right direction. And he worked very, very hard himself, as did all of the team. They worked equally as hard for Manus as they did for Jim. And, you know, he was very, very proud of the fact that he made it that time, and was extremely proud of Donal. Can't tell you how proud he was of them.
We talk about legacies and what we can leave behind us and how we can be remembered. And that's not the motivation, but often it just happens when you work very hard in your community. Patricia McBride is the director of On Green On Theatre in Letterkenny and joins us now to reflect on Jim's life and his contributions. And Patricia, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Greg. I'm really happy to say a few words about Jim. You know, he was a very big presence in the development and ongoing running of the theatre. As a member of the town council, he would have been very instrumental at the time that the fundraising campaign was going on to build a theatre. And he was one of the first nominees to the board, a nominee from the town council. So I'd known him for over 20 years. And I mean, he was so kind of invested in his community. He loved the arts. He was very interested in culture and heritage. But he, you know, he was actually active in making the theatre happen. You know, he was one of the first board members from 1999 to 2004. And then he returned to the board again at a later stage around 2012. And actually, you know, as one of the founding members, his name is still on the Articles of Association for the theatre. And he would have come to the annual general meeting of the theatre because even though he wasn't an active board member, he was still the member. And I think he had that sense of ownership over, you know, the theatre. And, you know, if you talk about a legacy, you know, to see the theatre thriving, you know, 20 years on is, you know, is testament to the effort that Jim made at the time. But, you know, he was a great character. I always really enjoyed chatting to him. He was really supportive of the arts, particularly the local amateur shows. And, you know, he came along to everything. and his whole family were very creative. And I, you know, it's that thing where whether, you know, that was something that he encouraged or, you know, they had that innate talent. But like, we would be familiar with the whole family here in the theatre who, the Garretts in particular, Krona and Lena, have performed on the stage many times here. And again, I think that's partly down to what Jim fostered in them, you know.
Yeah, indeed. And listen, thanks so much for your time and some lovely words there and great memories to be able to recall on. Just going back to the family side of things, Brenda, for a moment too, because, you know, sometimes people in the public eye and elected representatives, sometimes, you know, it's easy for us as a general public to forget their very important family members. And he took on the role of grandfather with much aplomb. He loved that role. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about that.
He has four grandchildren. Two of them are in Norway. And Eve is Krona's oldest wee girl. And he used to collect her from preschool. And he would treat her to the four lanterns. And he loved the banter with her. He would tease her and have a great crack with her. He actually even made her her own little storybook. And he talked really amorously about her to me on many, many occasions. He just loved the crack with her. And now, Moira, the second child, was born during COVID and we were all knocked down. He didn't see as much of her, but he saw a lot of Eve now and was really, really proud of her. Loved her.
Yeah, what a lovely thing to have in your possession, that storybook, to be able to reflect back on.
Yeah.
Now, also, to talk to me a bit about his role in education, Brenda.
He was a great teacher. There was a gentleman came in during the week and he might know Deirdre Duffy. She's the secretary in Loretta. All her family was taught by him. And her brother was with her at the week. And he said that he taught two generations of them. And his daughter, he said, became a primary teacher based solely on Jim. He said he created such an impression on her that she decided to go into national school teaching. He didn't just do the academics, he took them out as well on nature walks and swimming pool and history walks. And that's, you know, he was not just an academic teacher, he was overall, and he was really, really greatly liked and appreciated over there. And as a matter of fact, he nearly had to be pushed out of the school. He loved his job so much. He hated retiring.
That's too. It can be tough, isn't it, after a retirement when you're you know, you've had such an influence. But I mean, obviously, he continued to keep himself busy and just had his influence and his activities in other areas, Brenda.
Yeah, well, you see, as a father, even Greg, he spent quality time with his children. He instilled that nature environment. He had a mobile down in Downings and they went there the long teaching holidays. And he used to take the girls on trails and show them all the different trees and animals. And he would take them on wee historical runs around the area as well. Even when he took them on foreign holidays, he would have done his research in the areas to see what was of interest to bring them, to show them, you know.
Yeah. And he was able to strike that balance. Not everyone can, but it sounds like he was able to. He was busy, but he also knew how to make time then for those around him.
Yeah, he always, that was one thing about him. He was very generous with his time. No matter who went, and there was a lot of us, like there's 12 in our family. Well, unfortunately, there's only 10 now. But anybody that, you know, had a worry or a problem.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine. Carry on.
Anybody that had a problem, you know, or anything, it was Jim that went to. Because he never, even though he was a busy man, he always had time for family and to listen. He was a great listener. If anybody was ever sick, if they were in Dublin or wherever they'd be, it would be nothing for him to jump into the car and drive you there. He was very selfless.
Okay, let's bring into the conversation now Councillor Kieran Brogan, who served on the council with Jim and on Letterkenny Town Council. And you know, for the most part, for local authorities like town councils and councils to work well, Kieran? The councils generally work well together, don't they? And have to, because they're all pulling in the one direction.
I suppose if everything was local, and if somebody came forward with the motion, whether it was Hard O'Donnell, Glencairn, Ballyvaugh or Ballyrean, or O'Toole, and everybody was very, very supportive. But it's more like a big family, really, and I suppose that's where the town council probably was badly missed, and something that when I was first elected in 1999, I probably enjoyed most about politics was the town councils, because of that closeness was there, and because of the smaller executive that was there, and everyone was part of that team. And I think that there's no doubt the success that we have seen in Letterkenny over many, many years. Those seats were sown back in the day by the Urban Council first and then taken on by the Town Council.
Yeah, and important things that maybe we take for granted to some extent is, you know, successful, tidy towns, organisations, little improvements that happen that maybe we don't really know the history to. Jim's fingerprints are all over that.
Eileen was asking me about this last week. I was thinking about Jim Lynch in many ways, and I suppose if there was a couple of words that would strike you immediately about Jim Lynch, would be proud. And very proud, proud in the town and proud of the county as well, in every way, and very passionate too about the things we have achieved. And I suppose if you look at some of the things that we forget that was achieved back in the town council days was, you know, some of the huge controversial issues that was there that someone could be forgiven that ever existed. Now, the mark back in the day was a massive issue, the removal of the mark and the car park all there. Century Hill was something that was always very much to the top of his agenda at that time. We've heard much talk in recent years about the Cathedral Quarter, but it was much more than the Cathedral Quarter. You know, the Cathedral Car Park was there, and, you know, we had the controversial issues back in the day, like the caravans at the car park and the whole redevelopment of the Cathedral Car Park, and we now see the one-way system all in place there. It was all about that sort of integrating that older part of Letterkenny, and the Burman never was far from his lips either at any given time, and the tidy towns and the tidy towns estates, but it was all associated with that bit of pride in the town that we have and where we're going, and in the redevelopment and how that the rest of the town could be brought into it. And you know, Letterkenny was and probably is the envy of many towns throughout the country, because we're one of the first towns to employ a permanent town gardener and so many open spaces. I mean, we hear a lot of talk today of things like the environment and stuff, but Letterkenny was much, much ahead of many other parts of the country with its parks, town parks and open spaces. And we see that in the Baron McGlinchey Town Park, Ballymacool Park, the many open spaces that you see all around the town. That was almost very much to the top of Jim's agenda. And he was so much involved in all of those things that are the tidy estates, the tidy towns, folk festival, but everything that was good, and that to me all stemmed from the huge pride that he had, and he was very proud first of all of his own family, his mum and dad, and never was shy about talking about his own family, and that's thankfully that's been carried on today now with Donald Mandy being the mayor of Letterkenny. But to me, and I was only talking to somebody this morning about Jim Lynch, he just was one of them people that you never imagined ever being sick or not being around anymore. To me, he was one of them people that you expected to be around forever, because he just seemed to almost be there and almost so relaxed and chilled and stuff. But just bigger than Letterkenny, I mean, you could have met Jim and Slade Lee, you could have met Jim and Downey and Rathmullen, anywhere at all, and he just had that whole passion for, I suppose, what we are in Donegal.
All right.
A huge loss for everybody for that.
Kieran Brogan, thank you very much indeed. We really appreciate your time. That's Councillor Kieran Brogan there. You heard the Cathedral Quarter being mentioned there. Donan Harvey, Secretary of the Cathedral Quarter Letterkenny Group. Thanks for joining us, Donan. You're very welcome to this special programme honouring the late Jim Lynch. Thanks for your time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, Greg.
Talk about Jim's involvement in that group. Relatively young group, isn't it?
Well, I suppose the idea is Jim's idea, stretching back 30 years in the town council and whatnot. But our group itself is 2014, and I suppose the initial one was Save the Church Lane, And at that stage, that we kind of reached out to Jim and asked him to become involved in the committee. And he was being a guiding light and so instrumental into everything that we were doing. And he was so knowledgeable about the hurdles that we faced, but also coming up with solutions and practicalities and of how to address them. It's great that what Jim envisaged is now finally the seeds are really, really coming on board. It's brilliant that their way. But it's again very sad that he's not going to see everything that he envisaged, but it's good that something that he held so passionately is going to happen.
Yeah, and obviously with any of these projects, there's organisation and there's applications and all that type of stuff, but sometimes you have to roll your sleeves up too.
Yeah, and Jim was the first in with our group. Even when I was in Holidays, there was a conversation how to get into the house so that they water the flowers and stuff like that there. Jim was always the first man there. Any function that we were at, when we were getting the mural ready for the gable end of number 2 Church Lane, again, was myself and Jim were up there painting away, getting on the undercoat and things like that there. Again, heavily involved with the Tidy Towns, which he was a founding member of, up planting flowers with the likes of Charlie Grant and just so much practical help, and he really wanting to come up with them, getting it better and then working on it year on year, thinking of how we can improve it. And again, I think I just heard the contribution from Councillor Brogan about, Jim would have been at other places. And Jim was very, very observant of what he's seen in all these other places and how they could be applied to his own hometown.
Yeah, indeed. And Donald, did you pick up the roll-you-up sleeves element, or is that your style as well? Or
I think Greg, my sleeves was always up for me.
Brenda, can you confirm or deny that?
Absolutely, that entire family sleeves were rolled up like ourselves from a very young age. There's no idling there.
Talk to me, Dan, about the literary festival.
Yeah, so again, it's another one that the literary festival that when we started the literary festival 7 years ago. And that one was when my late father was sick down in Dublin, and I was going down to meet Senator Norris because he was taking an interest in the project, and I asked Shane Toon, what will I do? What am I going to meet this man? What do you want me to do? And he says, ask him, will he open a literary festival for us? So, and we had no money and we had no idea of how to run it, but or to begin with, and what do we do? But we've been at it 7 years, and again, that one was Jim was very, very, proud and wanting to see that festival grow and getting local people to attend the festival and getting local acts on it. And I mean, even one of our last committee meetings there, we had with Jim present, with giving us a bit, or Brian Walsh and the story of Chief Justice Walsh, Louis Walsh. And then making sure that elements like that would be on the literary festival. So Jim was very involved in that there and trying to help us grow and that local people and put on events that local people would like and come to attend to. And that's a hope that it and even this year's festival is dedicated in Jim's memory.
All right, some lovely memories and a great honour. Dan and Harvey, thank you so much for joining us. Brenda, talk to me about... as much as you want to, Jim's spirituality. Was he a religious man?
He was a very religious man. I don't know if you know Greg, he went away to the church when he was a young man, and it wasn't for him, but he left. So he carried that. We, as a family, we would be anyway, but he was in particular so, and he had a great devotion to the rosary as well. We would have had rosary in our home all our lives. Whenever we were young, we were brought up with it. So mm-hmm. Jim carried that with him. And that is the big consolation that we have as a family now, that because of his faith, we know he'll be reunited with my parents, my younger brother, my two brother-in-laws, the two Toms, and Manus, of course. And that gives us great consolation, Greg. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's bring into the conversation now, if that's okay, Monsignor Kevin Gillespie, Administrator at St. Eunan's Cathedral. Father Kevin, thanks for your time this afternoon. It's very much appreciated.
Thank you very much, Greg.
I think you can confirm what Brenda said there about the importance of Jim's faith to him.
Yes, it was. It was very important. Well, I think, as Brenda would attest, Jim grew up in the shadow of the cathedral, and the cathedral was an important place for him, as it is for all of the people of Letterkenny, especially the older families. And he was very much part and parcel of our life here. He served on the parish council for, I think, two terms, I think, and was always interested to make a contribution. And you may have spoken already, of course, that he was very much involved in the Letterkenny reunion, and the annual mass of the reunion was something that, again, was very important to Jim, as it is to many of the organisers and the participants. And I think it played a very important role in forming his outlook on the community and on his contribution to the community.
Yes, and it's nice to hear Brendan talk of faith, and how Brenda and her family get comfort in their faith from Jim's passing, and we hope in his own passing that Jim would have got comfort in that process.
I'm very confident that he did, because he had, as things turned out, time to take in I suppose that his mortality was facing him, and I know that he took great comfort in his prayer and in the sacraments before he passed away. And thank God that that was available to him in the hospital, especially in the last number of days.
Indeed. Father Kevin, I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us. It is very much appreciated. Okay, let's bring into the conversation now Brian Walsh, member of the Letterkenny Community Heritage Group. Brian, how are you getting on, and thanks for joining us?
Getting on grand. Fine. Thank you for having me. It's very appropriate that we honour Jim. He did an incredible amount for the town of Letterkenny, and indeed beyond Letterkenny. I mean, you'd be going to events around the county, and you'd frequently see them at them, or he'd come back and tell you about something you never knew about, some festival or other at Ardra. So, his contribution was extraordinary.
I have the word, you were involved, I presume a willing participant in the sponsorship for the Christmas annual, but the word dragged is mentioned here as well. Did you require a little bit of early persuasion from Jim, Brian?
Well, it's funny you had Father Gillespie on there, because it came back to me during his sermon at the funeral, because Father Gillespie was talking about how Jim would walk up the main street of Letterkenny with his grandchildren, and how they would and how he would stop every few yards, and how they would end up tugging at his trousers to try and get him to move on, because they had other things to do. And it was the first Christmas annual in 1982, I think it was, that I somehow or other got roped into going along up the main street with Jim, looking for sponsors for the publication. And I think I was a bit like his grandchildren. I was probably going, Jim, why are we talking to all these people? I've got places to go and people to see. But he had plenty of time to talk to these people, and that was the thing about him. It was never a quick walk up the main street with Jim. It was always a slow stroll, and a few times you'd sit down. And I think the other thing that struck me, I can remember doing that with them and thinking, this is a lovely idea, little Christmas annual. People will enjoy it, and that'll be that. It'll sit in a shelf and maybe get dragged out again sometime in the future. So to me, it was just a one-off. But I think Jim was probably already planning the next 10 editions, because that's what he was doing. He was always kind of like thinking ahead. And again, going back to Father Gillespie's sermon, he described him as a community actor. And I think in ways too, he was almost a community philosopher, because he thought an awful lot about what it meant to be part of a community. And it wasn't just that he sat there and thought about it. He then headed out and did things about it. And the Brother Kenny Annual, I think, did an awful lot to bring people together, not just in the town, but those who had left the town. It was a frequent thing. You'd see people in the post office in the days leading up to Christmas, posting off the Christmas annual to far-flung parts of the world, and knowing the reception it would get there. I was dragged in, little did I know I was being dragged into something that, and I didn't play any great part in it after that, but little did I know that it's been dragged into something that would last this length of time and will fortunately go on now with, or sadly go on without him, but fortunately will continue.
Yes, Liam O'Donnell is manager of Letterkenny Community Centre, and he joins us now as well. Good morning to you, Liam. Thanks very much for joining us. We're talking about the Christmas annual out there. Jim involved in that, of course, founding member of the Letterkenny Community Centre. It was all hands on deck in terms of his contribution to that annual.
Yeah, he was, Greg. He edited 37 out of the 40. Annual, so it was a huge commitment over the years that Jim gave to the centre as editor of the annual on an annual basis.
Yeah, and of course it wasn't just that. There's the sales, there's distribution, all that type of stuff that has to be done to keep a magazine like that going.
Yeah, well, this the book started off as a fundraiser for the centre, and Jim and the committee kept it going all through the years. There was a vibrant committee at the start, but as the years went on, it dwindled. So there was only a few people that was really keeping the annual going. Now, the late Jerry McGinley kept it going along with Jim for a long number of years. And then when Jerry retired, I kind of stepped into the role of Jerry along with to help Jim out to get the book out every year. So Jim was hands-on. He was involved in the collecting of photographs, the collecting of articles, the writing of articles, the distribution, where we used to go to Duffy Freight in the morning at 6 a.m. to lift the books from the depot, and we'd go around the town ourselves to get them out early in the morning when the town was free of traffic. And then he helped then with the collection of money and stuff like that. Yeah, he was from A to his head, really, in the book.
Yeah, and finally, because I know you're travelling, and I must point out you're not driving, but I know you're travelling, we won't delay you much longer. But there's an important thing happening here as well in terms of an archive of sorts being put together over the years of Letterkenny. Again, another lasting testament.
He was a great believer in collecting the history of the town and the history of the people of the town that were before they had passed on. So he did a lot of interviewing. He would go out and interview a lot of people, and that's where he collected the volume of history.
Okay, listen, I think we'll leave it there because we're going to lose Liam there, but we appreciate his time and in joining us. Manus, I beg your pardon, but I know that's not me calling you. That's not something that will offend you, because you have so much respect and love for your brother, as we all do. But Donald, you know, when we hear about stories, and if you've got something to say on this, Brenda, as well, please come in. A different way of doing politics, or is it a different way of doing politics? You know, I know you are very hands-on, and we've known with issues you've been involved with, Donald, that you do roll your sleeves up and you have to. But when we listen to stories like we have of Jim, I just wonder, is there still that element in elected politics, Donald, or has it been lost?
That's a tough enough question, Greg. It's hard to know what way to answer.
I probably should have left that one for the 9 till noon show rather than... but yeah, I think you understand the question, because...
Definitely. Listen, I've been honest, I think to a certain extent it has been lost. That's been my honest opinion on it. Maybe there'll be people who would beg to differ now, but listen, that's my opinion. But listen, Jim was very hands-on, and when you hear them stories there going back to the Christmas annual, I mean, the Cathedral Quarter, and we hear Councillor Brogan there chatting about the town council as well. I mean, you know what a legacy this man has left behind. Like, I mean, when you hear Liam chatting there, 36 years involved in producing 37 annuals out of 40, I mean, that's something else.
I didn't
know myself, but, like, you know, that's a testament to a man, like, you know, his dedication and his his hard work and his commitment. You know, when Jim took something on, you know, he didn't go at it, you know, half bored. It was all or nothing, and I mean that's remarkable. You know, it definitely is remarkable. I can't honestly express enough. You know, my thoughts of Jim. You know, just definitely was a great man. Really, yeah.
Yeah, and what a note to leave it on from you. Thanks very much for that. That's Donal Mandy Kelly there. And I suppose we'll finish where we started off, and that's with Brenda Lynch McClafferty. It's a mixture of emotions, isn't it? Because, you know, it's still raw for you. You miss your brother that you loved and respect so much. But at the same time, to hear so many people from so many different areas of society to have such genuine, nice words from it must bring great comfort to you, Brenda.
Oh, absolutely, Greg. It is, like, you're talking there about the old system of politics. It is changing. It's going more to social media now. But Jim had a very charismatic personality, you know. And when people spoke to Jim, they got his undivided attention. So he always made an impression that he got to speak to somebody, which I think is still important. Anyway, another thing I'd like to say, Greg, that he had a great club that he used to attend in Number 6 Cafe in the courtyard. And I would just like to say a hello out there to Mary and Alice and all the Saturday Club people that used to come from as far away as Dunloe. And they have a great old banter down there and a sense of humour Jim had, you know, too. He had a great sense of humour and they would have experienced that down there. So just like to say hello to them. I would also like to say thank you to you, Greg, for this tribute. My brother was so humble, I think you would be shocked to see how well you've sought him. On behalf of my family as well, and myself and Jim's family, I would like to say a big thanks to everybody that sent cards, text messages, phone calls, and the lovely wording that was in them about Jim. It was just so nice, and he really would not have believed the tributes that he's been getting, and we're getting them still, every one of us, the family, every day.
Okay.
And I would like to say to Greg, of all the things that were said about Jim, for me personally, a councillor that he was in the urban council with, said to me at his wake that he was incorruptible. And that, for me, in this day and age, was just one of the best tributes was ever paid to my brother, because he was incorruptible. And okay. The town is missing him, but we as a family are sorely missing him. And thank you very much, everybody out there, for your contribution. And thank you very much, Greg, Highland Radio, for doing this.
No, and it's a wonderful tribute, and your brother would be incredibly that you've given, and your brother would be incredibly proud of you. And I know with your faith, Brenda, you know, he's probably give you a wee hand today through this process. So thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. And that is where we have to leave it on this special podcast to mark the passing of a great man, as you've heard. Jim Lynch.